This club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
And you win it, the new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I am John.
I'm Alex.
And boy, it feels good to be back in the bunker telling you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond. Sir, how are we doing?
How we doing, sir? It is good to have you back. It is good to be back. It is good to see United back. Unfortunately, we only got 1 point out of the thing. Should have gotten all three. Should have started Paul Pogba, or at least switched him on at halftime. But what do you think of today?
Look, I'm not going to play Monday morning quarterback too hard. Should have done better. I don't think Ole got it right. I don't think he got the tactics right. I don't think we got the starting 11 right. Paul Pogba came on, changed everything. I mean, that's the headline. Bruno Fernandes, great pen. I mean, it feels good to have an assured penalty taker. Luke Shaw, standout performance for me. Some people might try to blame him for that goal, but we all know Eri got just done, son. Like, that was brutal. It was brutal to watch. It's like one of your friends. He's going to be living that highlight for a while.
It's going to be a meme. It's unfortunately going to become a meme. I thought United came out bright, but as soon as we got punched in the head, right, that goal, it was just like Gaff City between Maguire and then De Gea, which I think he should have done better. United looked completely off their ways from that. And then rest of the first half, it was all Spurs, and I thought at halftime, got to bring Paul Pogba on. You know, we've been critical of Paul Pogba, but Paul Pogba was ready to play, and he's one of the finest players in the world. He made an immediate impact, right? You brought him the 65th minute instead of the 45th minute. That was my biggest problem of the whole day, was Ole. I have to give Ole some heat for that.
Sorry, this guy coming in real bullish, like we're going to win 4-0, comes over to my house, and you're like, I'm nervous. You saw the lineup.
Saw the lineup.
Made me nervous. Balked at it. Look,
made me nervous.
For me, when I saw the lineup, I was like, that's Ole Gunnar Solskjaer right there. You know, there's the good and the bad, and I know why. He kind of went this way. People are going to say, oh, fitness for Paul P. Dude, he's going with his ride or dies. You know, Fred proved himself this season. McTominay proved himself this season. He's showing people that in his side that there's a hierarchy of how you earn it. And clearly the lads on the field did. At a certain point, I do like that midfield. Should be able to do against Spurs away. I think we started strong, but that goal, it was bad defending. You know, I said Luke Shaw on that left-hand side with Arrier there. I mean, he got caught a little forward in that position, but Harry Maguire and David De Gea both need to do better. And that took the air out of our sails. That's really the issue, is that as soon as that goal goes in, like, we were bossing them, we should just go back to bossing them. Tottenham really didn't create much. They were, you know, it's Spurs. They're weak. They're soft. Harry Kane, what did he do? Absolutely nothing. Even Son was neutralized, other than that one header opportunity. So at the same time, we got to just like kind of get back in the game, get back in that mindset we come out with. It's just like a little weak sauce for me, for Manchester United.
No, I mean, we've seen it before with United. They come out, even more so in this game. They looked good. They were playing direct football. They were playing one-touch football, and everyone looked fit. I think we looked better than Spurs coming off. But giving up that goal, it just like totally screwed their mojo. And I thought it was so obvious that a change was needed at halftime.
Yeah, you need a boss. You need
Matic and Pogba. Matic has like shored up that defense in that big run that we went on before the break. So I think leaving him out was a big miss. And leaving Pogba out, you know, I think even if he could play 60 minutes and then you have to take him out in the second half, but you got to start him.
Look, it's only one game. There's eight left. The odds actually didn't move on Manchester United to make top four. Tottenham definitely, they were plus 1,000. They went to plus 1,400. Manchester United plus 175 didn't move. So if you want to, hey,
Chelsea haven't played yet.
You know, I lost my bet today, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah, me too. I lost a couple bets today.
The bookies know what they're doing. And for the odds not to move on Manchester United, I'll look at that and be like, okay, you know, we're still in it. It's not over. We'll take the draw. It's not exactly what we wanted. It's not Chelsea 4-0 like we started the season. We're not like always at the wheel, still undefeated though. Hoodies are undefeated. Both wearing the hoodies in the bunker.
Both wearing the hoodies. Double hoodie. I'm being highly critical.
You're a little salty.
I'm being highly critical. I had huge expectations. Shame on me. I got my hopes up. I got my hopes high. I thought these boys were going to roll them.
Conductor, honestly, of the hype train over here. Choo choo.
Dude, look at the team when Pogba came on the field. It's just like it changed. All of a sudden, we were like old United. We were turning the screws. We were making chances. And you know, Mourinho'd us. We got Mourinho'd by Jose. So
he was smirking.
We'll learn from it.
He was smirking. He on was. The sideline I know,
but
for a while.
I know, but he didn't get all 3 points. We did get the draw, so it could have been worse.
That Spurs side is a weak Spurs.
I know they are.
It's a weak Spurs. It's a weak. It is away. There's a restart. There's gonna be some boring football. You know, we're kind of seeing these draws. Even Sheffield, they drew Villa. You know, I mean, we didn't draw Villa, and we're gonna play. We're going into the Sheffield game coming up this week. So, at a certain point, something to build on. Ole, he has his notes. Play Paul Pogba. So if he doesn't play Paul Pogba, I'm gonna start asking some questions there. Because then the day you look at that Spurs side, you look at Manchester United. And Paul Pogba is the best player on either team by a mile, right? And now you could say attitude, you could say drama, whatever you want. We all know Paul Pogba's shenanigans, but at the end of the day, that's a World Cup winner, sir. He's a midfielder. He comes on, controls it like a boss. I think he started just bossing the play. You're like, can Fred do that? No. No, Fred
cannot
do that.
Dude, he was bodying off everyone. Right. Sissoko. He made Sissoko look like a kid, and he looked like a world-class player.
Dude,
like
we need Paul Pogba in this team. We need him to stay at Manchester United, and we need him and Ole to, you know, I'm not going to speculate and say there's stuff kind of chirping between those two of those guys, but yeah, let's hope it was fitness. Let's hope Ole Mr. Nice Guy is fit as he praised him on the post-game presser. There's a lot to go, but we need Champions League football to keep Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes healthy and get Manchester United money so we can sign some players.
I mean, I think if anyone, this has to be a wake-up call for the team, it has to be a wake-up call for Ole. You know, tactics, I don't think he got it right because he wasn't able to adapt, right? From the gate, I thought the team looked good. You know, he had every intention, but as soon as we left that goal, we looked like we had no clue. And it wasn't until, like, you know, midway through the second half we were getting a grip on it again. So I think Ole's a young coach, and he should learn from this because we're back in the thick of it. Things are a little bit different in you know, the COVID era, right? They got the water breaks, which totally changed the tempo of the game. There were points where we were like, we were playing really well, and then there's a water break, and it changes everything. I think refs are behaving a little differently. We did not have the best behavior of the refs today. We were getting
that was a bad
dude. No John yellows. Loss. They were hacking the shit out of us all first half, and there was nothing called. Lamella should have definitely gotten a yellow. So.
How about that Lamella haircut? If you already didn't like him, if you already didn't like Lamella, like look at that. I mean, like, come on, man.
Poor man, Aguero haircut.
You need some friends behind your side that will tell you the honest truth. So Lamella, frosted tips. Poor man's Aguero haircut. That's what you said. Sir, quick PSA for the podcast. We are back. We're back in the studio. Absolutely love it. You can tell the audio is a little different. Me and Alex are done with the quarantine thing. We'll be getting you as many in-person pods as we possibly can. Watching our first United game together in a while. Unbelievable, sir. It's been a long journey through this quarantine. Thank you to all the fans who stuck with us. We really appreciate you guys. Pretty much why we do it. This podcast is for fans, by fans. Just me and Alex sitting on the couch yapping. You can totally hear the rapport.
Not much has changed since then, but it's good to be back in the bunker. It's good to be back watching football. And Manchester United, you know, people are disappointed, but there's a lot to build on. That is a very strong team that Ole has, and I think it's just finding the perfect starting 11 to, you know, take advantage of what he has. So a lot to build on, a lot of games, and it's going to be make or break for Ole because it's a big season for him.
Sir, lots at stake for Manchester United. Look, if you want to support the podcast, we're a small-time organization. You can check out our blog, AmericanRedDevils.com. We also have some merch. If you click on store, we got the hoodies that we're wearing. We got T-shirts, scarves, Glazers out scarves. For all you Americans who don't have one yet, green and gold, till the club is sold. That's how we do. If you please drop a review on iTunes for us as well, that goes a long way for us being found organically via search. And also, we did promise we were giving away an American Red Devils badge logo hoodie. So shout out to Tyler, the Northern Red with the winning podcast review. Sir, you want to read the review?
What a review it is. We appreciate it. Here we go. Top-rated podcast, pod never sleeps, sirs. These guys pod no matter the occasion, wedding day, early match, children being born, worldwide pandemic, they've got you covered. They deep dive the club we love and generate some high-quality stuff, keeping us up to date on transfers, news, and other happenings around the across the pond. This is where I get my Manchester United info. Happy to support this podcast however needed. If you can buy merch, and if you can support on Patreon, do it up. Otherwise, write a review to help keep them going. Keep up the great work, gents. Glory, glory, Man United, and kicking a blue. Appreciate it, Tyler, the Northern Red. And we're going to be sending you a very special undefeated American Red Devils hoodie. Undefeated, champion absolutely. Hoodie. It's champion. Very nice.
Top quality. So we, you know, it's one of the finest pieces of merch we've made. Tyler, email us, AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We'll get you hooked up with the hoodie. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is in its infancy, but I am building it up when I can. So please subscribe on YouTube. Help us out. I know that's the PSA. Quite a PSA, but we haven't been around in a while. So into the podcast, sir. Manchester United 1, Tottenham 1 match breakdown. Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I'm sure they're going to sell the rights that soon. It was today, Friday.
As soon as they can.
It was,
It was today. Let's jump in.
It was today. And oh my God. It was tough.
It was an emotional day.
Look, Dave saves in net on the starting 11. Dave,
we got love you.
You need to shave the beard. You got it. We need some mojo changes out of you, Dave. We'll get to that a little later. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, the Spider, right back. Lindelof. I don't know why he gets paid so much money. Maguire, Luke Shaw, Fred, Fernandez, McTominay, James, Martial, Rashford, and 4-2-3-1. Sir, what'd you make of that lineup? You came over, you were nervous when you saw it. Was it that midfield that made you nervous? You're a big Fred guy. Tell me about El Pastor.
Yeah, I'm a Fred guy when you when you don't have Paul Pogba at disposal and when you have an infor Matic.
You're a Fred guy. You can't back. You I can't like walk
Fred.
Back.
I like Fred, but did I call him in my lineup? I did, but I also called Matic and Paul Pogba. So if you're gonna have hierarchy, he wouldn't be above those two. So dropping Matic and Pogba, especially Matic for me. I think McTominay played really well in the first half. I think even Fred at times put in a shift, but Matic, I think, would have helped that goal.
Shout out Rick the Red on the Matic.
Always, but he's right. He was right. He was right, and he continues to be right because we looked better when he came on in the second half, and he should have started this game.
All right, jumping in first half, United did come out the better side. They pressed Spurs. We were able to get into their half, sir. We're attacking. We usually don't know how to break down a side. Mourinho Spurs, they did look organized, a young Spurs side. 22nd minute, big chance. Bruno hits the ball in. Defender heads it aimlessly, falls right to Marcus Rashford, hits it one time. Lloris with a kick save and a beauty. If this went in, it would have been a different day.
It would have been a different day, and it's, you know, that's sometimes how football goes, right? It's like you don't score at one end, and they score the other end right after. So would Rashford rue the chance? I think he might.
I believe Fred had a shot in there as well when I was like, don't shoot Fred. Please never shoot ever again. Just shout out to your boy. 26th minute, Bruno Fernandes took a nice hit from 30 yards out. I like it a la Ronaldo. He has the confidence. Bruno Fernandes, like, to me, he's already a United legend. Looked like he was forcing it a little bit today. Like, take some more time on the ball. He's got everything, but kind of looked like he was trying to do too much. Do too much.
I think a lot of players were guilty of that today. Yeah. I think AWB was on offense, right? He was caught isolated out wide a lot, and then he was just like trying to do too much. Bruno at times gave it away.
I think he went
cheaply.
For the Ronaldinho rainbow at one point. Wan-Bissaka.
There were a couple of rainbows today, I believe. I think Pogba had a rainbow. I think Bruno had a rainbow. Players trying to do too much, and players on the break, right, not making that killer pass that we have been doing against teams that unlock them. So, hey, what minute is this? It wasn't the best.
Look, 27th minute, slabhead let me down.
So Bergwijn. Bergwijn can have a run. It's a really mazy run. Bergwijn scores! Bergwijn with a really mazy run. He showed electrifying pace. And he smashed it home. Spurs 1, United 0.
Look, you know, when you see Bergwijn, who is he? Don't never heard of the dude, honestly. And he's just ripping Harry. He didn't even look fast. Look, the ball comes in. Luke Shaw heads it. And then, you know, he does run forward, right? So as a left back defending, he shouldn't be running forward until, you know, you clear your lines. Harry Maguire. He had enough distance to kind of make the right call, but he totally went the wrong way, got turned inside out, and then Bergwijn in on net, shot it right at De Gea, thought he could have done better, and it goes in. I mean, just a sloppy goal. Spurs didn't really deserve it. They didn't really threaten us that much. If you look at the XG, I think we're 1.7. Spurs maybe 0.5. Clearly, we had more opportunities, and we didn't even play well. Frustrating goal to let in, and, you know, it killed me, sir.
Well, it's very much a goal that sums up Ole's reign, unfortunately. It's just like gaffes on gaffes. Maguire with a very Phil Jones moment.
That's harsh.
Giving him
That's harsh. Sums up his reign. Gaffs on gaffs.
Well, so I mean gaffs in the sense that like we're riding high and then all of a sudden we shoot ourselves in the foot and then you're like screwed and scrambling. And I felt like that again today, right?
No, this season, yes.
I had a game plan and then we have a complete defensive error. Like, you know, he got beat bad. McGuire gave him way too much space and just got beaten for speed.
Like a dog.
And then like a dog, mate. And then De Gea. Yeah. And De Gea let in a goal that he shouldn't be letting in. That Dino let that goal in. He looked pretty hot. When he played a couple days ago. So it's unacceptable. So all of a sudden you give that goal up and it spurs game because our game plan goes out the window and you give Jose exactly what he wants. Exactly, we can just sit back and just call the tempo and counter on you, which they did pretty effectively.
Well, I will say that the clean sheets have been hard to come by this season. Clearly, rocky start out of the gate. We did finish strong defensively coming in, right? We even had the clean sheet against City at home. And especially with De Gea, we discussed on the last pod, he needs to get in the net and like get his mojo back because these errors are coming fast. And, you know, it's tough to see De Gea struggle. And then I watch Sheffield United versus Aston Villa. Dean Henderson looks like a worldie. I mean, I like De Gea more than Dean Henderson. If you just look at De Gea, he's cooler. Got the beard, got the flow, got the girl. Dean Henderson, yeah, he's a typical English keeper. I don't believe English keepers are that good. You know, the history of English keepers is not too great. So, you know, I think there's probably a little prejudice there. But when I saw him in net for Sheffield United, everything I see, I'm like, damn, I think he has to be in our side next season. I think Romero's got to go. I think Dean Henderson's going to fight for the job next year. And then you just said, who's going to take De Gea's wages? Absolutely nobody. And why do you give De Gea the big deal when you got Dean Henderson? I don't know. The big deal hasn't done well for De Gea. Right? He hasn't performed after he got the money or when he was thinking about signing the deal.
He hasn't performed.
There's a dark ale for you.
I gotta have another dark ale. This is one of those days. He hasn't performed up to task, right? Ever since he signed that deal, his head's been elsewhere and he hasn't performed. He hasn't looked up to it. Typical De Gea recently, right? He follows it up.
This is points,
with a, he follows it up with a world class save though, right after. And stop Sun.
I mean,
that's a good save. So you can't deny that. It's a very good save.
Lloris had three of those.
Lloris had a very good game as well, didn't he?
Dean Henderson had four of those. And those are difference makers. Those are how you get points. Look, De Gea was the reason why we made top four in prior seasons. De Gea might be the reason we're missing top four. Remember the ball he juggled into the net against Sheffield United? That's 3 points.
Too well.
This is another three. You could probably, he leads the league this season in errors leading to goals across defenders and keepers. That's not a stat you want to be on. This isn't quite an error, and it's unfair to kind of slate him on, but he needs to step it up, man. That was shot right at him. Shot right at him.
No excuses. He's bailed us out so many times, which is why he gets a lot of cover, and he's earned it, to be fair, but it's been time after time now of recent note, and it's, you know, we have competition on the squads, like Romero, yeah. Which I think Romero saves that ball,
yeah,
and I think De Gea saves that ball. It's just that, like, dude, I don't know if he's not focused.
It's the one position
he gets distracted. Yeah, we are super rich, and we've got good prospects in the academy, and we have Dino ready to go. He looks a top keeper. I mean, he did look a top keeper, and De Gea looks like he's slipping.
He looks like the Manchester United number one. When I saw him against Aston Villa, I'm going to watch every Sheffield United game from here on out. Obviously, we're competing with them top four, but he looked like top draw, mate. Like, absolute top draw. And I don't know if there's a way you keep him out of that net. If you're watching those games, and look, that's the way it should be at Manchester United. It should be like, you know, next up, we need to win. We need to win titles. We're talking about making top four, you know.
I hear you.
32nd minute, Dave saves. We just got into it. Sun with the header. This one, you know, it's a good save.
It's a good save,
but Lloris had it. I think Lloris had a few more.
Lloris kept them in the game as well, didn't
he? Dude, I'm number one Dave Saves fan. Sir, number one Dave Saves fan.
You
got to call like you see it. 34th minute, Lindelof gives away another terrible corner. 41st minute, Lamela gets away with another foul without a booking. Been a lot of that in the first half. Look, John Moss had a mare of a game. Look, referees are out of practice too. We're going to see a lot of riffraff. Even goal line technology didn't work.
Nope.
Sheffield
that was bad.
Look, at least we're not Sheffield United. That'd be worse. Going in halftime, what do you think Ole said to the boys? Didn't change it up. What do you think about that move?
What I thought he would say to them is not what he clearly said to them, because I would have been like, yo, Pogba, Matic, go warm up. Get ready. Let's go. And I was shocked that he didn't make a halftime sub.
Fred had to go. I mean, Fred was dying in the middle of the park. He just not his day. Look,
he didn't even play that bad. It's just that you needed Pogba. It was so clear that you needed Pogba to unlock Spurs' defense and how they were playing. They were packing everybody in behind the ball, and you need another Bruno. Bruno plus, I hate to say it, because Bruno can't do what Pogba can physically. Today, he was just like holding people off, and we missed that for 45 minutes and only had it for 20 minutes.
Unfortunately, second half, like Ole, he's like, remember when Jose was able to get him to come out second half and like change the game? Ole just can't get the halftime talk. Just like Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, must be, because they don't come out and change much.
Nope.
They did look like they had a little better grip on the game. 55th minute, close, nice low shot from Bruno goes wide. I mean, he takes that first time. Absolutely dynamite stuff from Bruno. It's a shame he didn't get his goal from open play. And then 62nd minute, about time, sir. Everyone was clamoring for it on Twitter. Double sub, Pogba and Greenwood for Fred and James. I mean, it wasn't James's day either. No space to run in behind. So Dan James, he's not the man to unlock those defenses, but Mason looked pretty sharp when he came on. 63rd minute, Pogba, immediate impact in the thick of it, taking a shot, stripping in Aurier.
The key word is immediate. Like, it was like 30 seconds later, all of a sudden United were a different team.
They pinned Spurs back. It just changed the entire game. Everyone was like, finally, the best Manchester United team is out there. Pogba, Bruno, everything we've been talking about on social media for like 100 days is finally happening. 64th minute, great link up with Pogba and Bruno. Bruno finds Martial with a spectacular pass in the box, but he can't finish quick enough. That was the story of the day for Martial. Not really on target, but again, you got to give passes here. The first game back, it's sort of unfair it was this big of a game. 66th minute, Martial forces Lloris into a worldie of a save. Another great save from Lloris here. This was kind of similar to that song one that De Gea had. And then 78th minute, sir, we're thinking, we're going to lose to Spurs. We're dying. We're absolutely struggling. Double sub at Galo FC and Matic come on for Martial and Lindelof. That's exactly what we needed, sir. You know what? In the 80th minute, Paul Pogba, sir.
Save us.
Pogba, engancha Pogba, pasa bien Pogba. No. Penal, 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 penal.
Penal.
No bueno.
No bueno.
La tienen que ir a revisar esta. Sí, por eso le hizo.
La inventó Pogba.
Claro.
Claro.
Para mí nunca es penal.
Nada.
No.
Se deja caer. Mide la sujeción entre los dos. Ahí los dos están tomando. Después no hay un empujón. A ver, toma carrera el portugués. A Bruno.
Oh, he hit it so hard.
Del Manchester United. Bruno Fernández, su tercer gol en Premier con la camiseta del Manchester United. Empata el partido.
Absolutely love it. Telemundo, shout out to Telemundo. The calls, the animation, the passion, love it. NBC, LFC, take notes. Telemundo doing it right. Paul Pogba getting the penalty. Bruno Fernandes finishing it. I'm glad Paul didn't grab the ball there. I thought Pogba was going to take it. I mean, he won it. He's kind of a big deal, right?
I was very surprised about that. I'm happy to see him being willing to say, hey, Bruno, you're up. You haven't missed yet, so you keep going. Pogba earning it, showing what he's all about, showing that physicality in the box, making a bit of it, you know, making a bit of a meal of it, but why not? We need a goal, and I hate to say it, we got a goal. So
yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, we're back in it, 1-1. I thought we'd turn the screws to Tottenham here. Kind of got sloppy. Game got sloppy.
It did.
Pogba, dude, unbelievable pass from Paul Pogba, spraying it off the volley to Rashford. Rashford was not able to control it. I mean, it is hard to do, but at the end of the day, Paul P, he's pulling things out of his locker, and no one can on that pitch. I mean, that's a pass De Bruyne can't even hit. He's the only one in the league. And that's what, showing you at Manchester United, we need Paul Pogba. That's what I take away from this game and watching it. 89 sub, Bailly on for McTominay. Bring on Bailly. Ooh, sir, glad to see Bailly back fit. That's not going to last long after he hits a few challenges. 90th minute, Bruno gets a penalty, but then it's overturned by VAR. Nothing doing here, unfortunately. Cheeky dive from Bruno.
I don't know if it was a dive. I just think it wasn't a penalty.
Well, you know, he kind of makes the face like,
he didn't really make a face. We'll watch. He tumbled.
Yeah, we'll watch. He was like, hey, Hales.
I didn't see that face. I didn't see anything.
Look, I mean, fair play to him. He was able to get it called, and you know, VAR exists now. 95th minute, Greenwood had a chance, put it on his right, inches wide.
Good chance.
We had good chances. Pogba had chances. Martial had that chance. Greenwood. I mean, like I said, XG for United was 1.7. Clearly, I think there was more out of our side.
Yeah. Ours is 1.7. What was theirs?
I think 5.5.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, Spurs did nothing. No, they lads, it's Tottenham.
No, I know.
Roy Keane fired up. We got to take the game at the scruff of the neck. We got to take it to Tottenham. We got to win.
It's Mourinho. It was like exactly like Mourinho did with us.
No, but yeah, exactly. There was nothing there. And it's like, it was our game to win. Yep. We should have taken it. If we didn't make the defensive error, we probably would have scored in the first half. If we started Pogba, we probably would have scored in the first half. It was ours to win. And these, you know, like you said, the Ole not getting the tactics or the starting 11 right. Maguire kind of fumbling. He's the captain. Can't be doing that. And it's just like kind of a stumble out of the gates for Manchester United. But they get away with it with the draw, with the penal, sir.
And he showed some really high class football at times. I mean, anything, it was like we were too fast. We were giving the ball away a little haphazardly, trying to go too quickly at goal when the team needs to slow down and see that sometimes they have time on the ball. So there's a lot of promise in this team. It's just getting the starting 11 right, getting the boys motivated. Pogba looked like, what are you doing? What's taking me so long to get on this pitch? Which isn't always common that you see a player that's like so obviously like, yo, dude.
He hates Mourinho. You got to start him.
That's what I'm saying. But he's like, so motivated. Right, exactly. Mourinho, use that.
Mourinho and silverware. Those are the two things that motivate Paul Pogba to play well. And look, him taking Dyer to the touchline, that's just like...
He just like, it was so nice. It was silky.
It's literally like we haven't seen him play for so long. And it's insane how much better he is than everyone else on the field. He bosses everyone, shoulders everyone off the ball, controls it. I mean, he definitely, like you said, he yogs, but he can yog all he wants. So that's why I think, you know, at the current state of our team, we need Paul P every week in, week out. Match reaction stats wise, Tottenham 39% of the ball, Manchester United 61. Shots on target, 6 to Tottenham's 3. Corners, 6-7. And quite a bit of fouls, 18-17. But John Moss was happily blowing that whistle. Manchester United are unbeaten in 12 games in all competitions. We've won 8, drawn 4, scoring 30 goals and conceding just 3 in that run. Could have been 2. Ari, if you're listening. Sir, we released the hoodies during that span, so the hoodies are undefeated. Absolutely love it. I'm not going to read stats about Tottenham. Absolutely hate them. Since the start of the season, Manchester United have both taken 23 and scored 16 more penalties than the other side in the Premier League. So that's also an issue as well when we think about scoring from open play. A lot of our points are coming from penalties, right? That's something that, you know, could be concerning if that trend changes. And then Jose Mourinho has won 1 of his 6 past matches against his former clubs in all competitions, drawn 2, lost 4, sir. Taking just 1 point from 4 Premier League matches against Chelsea and Manchester United this season. So, look, he gives back. He goes to Tottenham and he lets us win. So, basically, we draw, but, I mean, you win and draw. So, well, not bad.
We need Aston Villa to bail us out and get a draw against Chelsea. At home.
You know, look, okay, we'll get into the rival watch. We'll get into that's a little early on that one, but you're right. Yes, so... As a fan, because we drew, we need other teams.
Yeah,
to fail.
Exactly.
I agree. And I, as a Manchester United fan, I'm used to just winning, winning, winning. So I don't need to worry about what any other team is doing. And I just talk as much smack to all my friends as possible. It's been a few years since that. Let's see what Ole Mr. Nice Guy had to say at the press or anything controversial. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
To ask about the fitness levels of your team, it seemed like if anyone was going to win the game at the end, it was going to be you guys. Is that something? You know, you particularly knew going into the game that might happen, and sort of how do you feel about the result overall?
Yeah, back to the question. Yeah, fitness. Yeah, I was very confident that we could last the game, and of course with the 5 subs as well. There was I thought we were able to finish the game strong. We knew we had quality players on the bench to come on and make a difference. But ever since the lockdown started, the fitness coaches have worked really, really hard with the boys, and the boys have worked really hard. So we are a different team to the one that hung on and just scraped a 1-0 win against Tottenham last season. I think this was a much better performance than the one we had last season.
Okay, Simon Stone.
Simon, are you there? Simon.
Need to unmute.
I'm trying.
Come on, Simon. You're on mute, Simon.
Ollie, you may have been told that Roy Keane had some fairly strong comments to say about the goal at halftime, and he was critical of Harry Maguire, but he was very critical of David De Gea and said he's one of the most overrated goalkeepers that he knows. I don't know what your view is of that, but what is your view of David De Gea and what he did for the goal?
What insight.
Well, I think we're disappointed, obviously, to score the first time they have a chance. And the boy hit it really well. The ball moves. Roy was a fantastic midfielder, is a good friend of mine, and I'm not sure he would have stopped it either, but that's not the point. But David is a bit disappointed, obviously, with it, but if you see the ball, the ball was moving through the air, so... we reacted well after that one, though, and he had a good save just 5 minutes after or something. We had a bad spell then for 10 minutes, and they looked like maybe they can get the second. So when David saved that one, at least we were in the game at halftime.
Okay, the ball was going through the air. If you didn't understand that, that's how it goes. Sir, what'd you make of Ole, Mr. Nice Guy? Not getting much out of him.
Not getting much out of Ole.
Or Simon Stone.
Or Simon mute. Stone. On mute. But I don't know what to expect at this point. You know, that's what you get from him. He's not going to throw any of his players under the bus.
I don't think you need to after this performance. I like how vanilla he is in the pressers because it keeps all the drama away. That's the only thing. Like with you know, Mourinho, that's all it was the pressers, 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 right? And with Ole, it's just like I like how he tampers it down. Ole, Mr. Nice Guy, that's the routine.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with his pressers. You know, he does what he needs to do, answers the question. Because like the press, just you gotta feed him shit. Basically, they're like mushrooms. You know, feed them shit, keep them in the dark. Honestly, they ask these stupid questions. Simon Stone is like a very well respected.
Like, I why didn't Paul Pogba start? Is it really
fitness? That's the best quote. Like, why?
Know?
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to know. He's not going to answer it. Hey, when we have a segment on this podcast. When Keno speaks, we listen. We rate what he says a lot. I got my Roy Keane jersey, sir. We're from New Jersey. I got a little Roy Keane in me. You know me. So, you know, at halftime, we'll let Roy have a go, son.
I got that good
established
Irish.
International goalkeeper. I am flabbergasted. There's got to be some stuff going on at that halftime. If I was Ollie, make some changes, get some lads off the pitch, lads going through the motions a little bit. Not that United have been bad, but you've got to, I've said flex your muscles, you've got to impose your personality in the game. Spurs have done okay, they've been compact, and listen, they've been okay. But Man United, Maguire, and De Gea, I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. I get a taxi back to Manchester. These are established international players, and we're all sitting here, and I know we have to analyse the game. Analyse it till the cows come home. You do your job. We're trying to get in the top four. Not win leagues, by the way. We're just talking about getting the top four. God forbid about winning trophies. Shocking. I am disgusted with it.
I mean, Roy Keane. Give me more Roy Keane. Get him on the pod. Get him on the pod.
I wish we could get Roy Keane in the pod.
He'd be a regular. Absolutely love to mix up with Roy Keane. I mean, he said everything there. Just like, Ole better be wringing their neck in the locker room. De Gea, international players, like, do your job.
But he's right. He's totally right. He's like, they didn't play bad, but we're Manchester United, and we're just trying to get in the top four. We're just trying to get in the top four.
It's
we're
like football 40. Follies, if you really think about it. It's like, come on.
That goal
on.
You give up is not, it's not a goal we should be giving up.
I think what you're seeing is like, look, Roy Keane, he could just be, first of all, how much it kills him to see Manchester United like this. You can just tell. It just affects him. Like, all he's just like upset. And, you know, the way he just speaks truth because he's just like, look, man, this is the intensity that's required to win titles. It's when your keeper doesn't have his head in the game, you got to go up to him and, like, confront him and really get in his face and, like, make him figure it out or he's gone. I mean, at the end of the day, you're trying to compete for trophies. There's no loss between players. And, look, Keno was a captain in that locker room. And if somebody made an error, he'd call him out right in front of everyone. And he probably was the major voice in the locker room. So Sir Alex didn't have to do a lot of that. You know, Keno would come in and just like rip him.
You want it to be infectious. I'm sure Fergie did plenty of it. But you know, when you have like really vocal, effective
exactly
captains, they're also gonna they're going to share the blood, and then everyone's going to do it. Everyone's going to expect everyone to up their game, which is why you can just see the disappointment in Paul Pogba's face. He's like, dude, get me on this pitch. I am ready to prove myself for this. He's ready to just get some revenge on Mourinho.
We don't have that intensity is my point. We really do lack the intensity that he's describing. Like, talking about, like, Ole's not ripping into him at halftime. They're not coming out energized. They're not, like... That's why we got scored on after 20 minutes, and we looked like, you know, we were just like, oh man, this sucks. We're out of it. You know, it's like a bad attitude. And that's why Keno.
My shot at Ole is
get him in the locker room. Have Ole just tap Keno to yell at him. You know,
bring him in. I mean, put him on the staff, honestly, because we need a little bit more of that. The fact that, like, you could finish that first half with the assets that you have on that bench and be like, we can't switch it up. What? He was worried about hurting Fred's feelings, dude. You have to, like, pull him out. Put Pogba in at halftime. I just think he's a little worried about, like, hurting the people that have been good to him. That bites you in the ass because Pogba's ready to start a half. That Spurs were there for the taking, and if he had a full 45 minutes, we would have won that game.
But for the record, Keno wouldn't have saved that shot, and he probably wouldn't be doing as well as Manchester United manager as Ole, though, at the end of the day, right? And neither would we. after the game, we came back and tied. He did say, quote, Keno on the Sky Sports, quote, maybe I'd let them back on the bus, but they'd have to sit all the way at the back. That's what he said. So he's like, throw them in the back. Classic Keaton when he speaks. We listen. Absolutely love those rants. Checking with the table, that puts us on 46 points. We got 1 point, and we are headed for our worst point total in Premier League history, short of us, like, winning out. Chelsea, 48, right above us. We're two behind them. Sheffield United, 44. They have a game in hand. Wolves as well. Tottenham, 42. Not really worried about Arsenal. They looked absolutely terrible.
Oh, my God.
The one thing is, like, we're not Arsenal.
They were all, like, unfit, like, getting injured. It was bad. That was ugly.
Dude, they flew up that day. Arsenal, shamble. I feel bad for Arsenal.
That was bad.
It's like, hey, guys, don't worry about it. Rivals watch. All the people we're really competing at top four with right now, Wolves, Sheffield United, and Chelsea. Wolves play West Ham Saturday. Win takes them to basically tie with us on 46, but we do have the goal differential edge. Sheffield United play Newcastle United Sunday. Win takes them to 47th, so fifth. We would be in sixth there. So back down to sixth. This reminds me of last season. Chelsea play Villa Sunday. Win takes them 5 points clear of us. Chelsea beat Villa. Villa's a bad side. You know, there's daylight. There's daylight there for top four. Again, we're going to start talking about that appeal from City soon. At the end of the day, it's a lot to play for. Let's not get over our skis criticizing everyone. It's an early start. It's how well can you make those adjustments? How well can you get started? It's almost like the start of a new season.
It is. It's like a mini season, and he's got a fully fit squad, and it's all about fitting those jigsaw puzzle pieces together. So he's going to have to figure it out because next game is a big one. Sheffield United are a solid team, sir.
Big game. Absolutely. I have to think that's almost a must win.
No, it is.
It's almost a must win for us. And guess what? Your boy Dino is not going to be in goal because Ed Woodward negotiated that loan deal. He can't play for him against us, which is great. Bookies odds for top four, Chelsea minus 175. They did not move at all. Manchester United plus 175. We did not move. Wolves plus 750 and Tottenham bumped down to plus 1,400 with Sheffield United. So even if Sheffield United win and they're ahead of us in the table, they're basically ranked like Tottenham to make top four. So that's disrespect on Sheffield. Might throw a few dollars on those odds. Sir, we got a next match. They're going to come fast and quick, and we are playing Sheffield United, a.k.a. the Blades, Old Trafford, Wednesday, June 24th, 10 a.m. Pacific. Great kickoff time. I like the 10 a.m. slot. These new time slots with Project Restart are great.
All this football. There's so much football to be had. So much United coming back. We're going to have FA Cup games. And then we're going to have like a mini Europa League tournament, which is going to be super fun in August. Can't wait.
No, it's awesome. Sheffield United Football Club. They come from Sheffield, South Yorkshire, England. They formed in 1889 as an offshoot of Sheffield United Cricket Club and are nicknamed the Blades due to Sheffield's history of steel production. I did not know that. Harry Maguire was born in Sheffield. He came through the youth system and graduated the first team in 2011. So we have Sheffield United to thank for Harry Maguire. Should have got him doing a little more speed training down there. Sheffield United won the original Football League in 1898 and the FA Cup in 1899, 1902, 1915, and 1925. They were the first club in English football to achieve promotion from the newly formed second division to first division in 1892-93. I thought that was pretty interesting. The club was also a founding member of the Premier League in 1992-93, during which they scored the first ever goal in the Premier League era.
There you go.
Sheffield United, quite, I'd say, rich history for Sheffield United. More history than Chelsea. Goddamn Chelsea scum plastic club, bro.
Nobody likes Chelsea, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. Chelsea fans chirping me on the thread. That's why I'm salty. Physio room checking with the injuries for Manchester United here. Axel Tuanzebe. He is out. Tuanzebe, come on. We need him in the side. I like Axel a lot. Just can't see him. Lindelof, he went down. You know, he likes to wear dresses. Or, you know, he's a little, you know, just, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, Phil Jones.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, you remember that Instagram picture?
No, I don't remember that stuff.
Lindelof, what do you mean, bro? What do you make of Lindelof's performance? He should have made up the ground on that Maguire miss.
He should have. Maguire's your captain. Maguire's your $80 million player. He got beat a lot worse.
Bailly would have.
Yeah, he would have. You're right. And he probably should have. But De Gea and Maguire are far more culpable in that. You know, I'm not saying Lindelof had a great game. I think both players looked better in the second half. But, you know, dude, we paid $80 million for Maguire, $35 million for Lindelof. Do either look like lights out every single day? Unfortunately not, but they usually play better than today. I think today was just an off day, you know. He obviously was giving them way too much space and changed that in the second half because he was coming in and like clocking brothers.
And for the record, I have no problem with Victor Lindelof wearing a dress. You know, it's just like it's his prerogative. He wants to do it. But if you're going to be a Manchester United center back, maybe you wear the dress after you're done playing.
I can't see Japstam.
Because you got to be like, I mean, the top center backs.
You see Vintage wearing a dress? Like, would Vintage be wearing a dress?
Right? At like a party.
Yeah, hand-boned. He'd be like hand-boned on like a pool table. Yeah. He would be like blackout.
Like, you know, I could see Vintage. Yeah,
having a great time.
I don't know, but like it's almost like that'd be scary because Vintage is so scary. Lindelof looks like he's you. Know? hell right. of a tangent. I haven't been in the bunker in a while.
Yeah, it's getting hot.
It's coming back. Lineups. Who do you got starting 11 for Manchester United? Sir, if you would stop sipping on that dark ale, let me know who you got.
let's see if Ola gets it right this time. Who do I got? I got David De Gea. I got AWB. By Maguire and Shaw. And then I got a midfield of Matic, Pogba, McTominay, Bruno, Rashford, and Greenwood. But I actually see that order flipped. I think Bruno's going to play more defensively. Pogba's going to play the 10. We're going to play a diamond, and we should score goals.
I always love your FIFA lineups.
You like this?
It's a FIFA lineup.
No Fred.
4-4-2, Dave says. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Bailly's got to come in. Obviously, Lindelof's injured, but you know I like that. What Bailly Maguire? That's what I'm starting to see right now. Shaw lights out. Shaw looked great. Looks fit. I mean, dude, no more meat pie. That's dead. I mean, as long as he stays this fit, he looked absolutely lights out. That's someone who actually took quarantine seriously.
He looked really great. Fit. He had a great game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you know me, I throw it at Shaw, and he came out looking like the best he's looked since he broke his leg.
The most fit he's looked, probably ever. At United.
Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, Rashford, Martial. Everyone hate on Martial. That's kind of what he does. I don't think the buildup was that great anyway. He didn't get in too many dangerous spots, right? So I'm not going to say Martial's got to sit.
He had that one chance, but that was like, he didn't have much. We didn't create enough. No, the one where he got like the pinpoint pass to from Bruno to him, like in the box, and he kind of took a second too long to hit it. But there weren't enough chances created, which is the reason why you need Bruno and Paul Pogba in the side.
Especially Igalo looked good. Igalo looked good.
He sprayed
that ball to Greenwood.
He's passing well. Yeah.
I mean, I give Igalo a shot too. I mean, I like the five subs things.
It's great.
It makes it great more for exciting. United. It changes it up. The water breaks, I don't like it.
No, the water breaks.
I don't like
bad.
That. I don't like that. I mean,
what do they mess with the mojo?
What do you get? Capri Sun and orange slices? I mean, what is this? You know, it's like, come on. You're pro. You're hot. Pros.
It's England. It's like, you're not playing like Dubai. Come on. it's like relax.
Okay, get out of here. Booking the bookies. We got the odds here. Manchester United to win -163. The draw +280. Sheffield United +480. Sir, this is via William Hill. VPN into London internet to pull these odds straight from the UK. That's how we do it here in America and Devils.
Very high tech.
First goal scorer for Manchester United, who you got?
Marcus Rashford.
+300, number two. Tied for number two.
Bruno Fernandes.
Igalo Martial tied for number two. Mason Greenwood, Bruno Fernandes +550. 50 and Bruno's on penalties, I'd be taking that all day plus 700.
Pogba's plus 700?
Dan James plus 850. I don't know how, I don't know how the Pogba Dan James odds are the same.
I like the Pogba
Dan
bet.
James should be like way more. Juan Mata plus 1,000. Jesse Lingard plus 900. Who's betting that?
Plus 9,000 more likely.
Should be like Jesse Lingard.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You bet
Lingard 10. To start is plus 900.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I like that. How is Nemanja Matić plus 2,500 Fred the same? Fred has to be plus. Fred has to be the lowest odds to score. Harry Maguire is higher than Fred.
It's more likely.
Hey, look, Fred the Red. Those are the odds. The bookies have us heavily favored. Last time we played Sheffield United, if you recall, Blades came out and attacked.
Yep.
They beast us. They got they had Dean Henderson in at the time. We made that amazing comeback. Three goals in what, 12 minutes? Rashford, Greenwood. Unbelievable performance by United coming back, and then we let up that goal again. What do you think it's going to be? 3-3, barn burner? I mean, we got this preseason style fitness issues.
I think it's hard to score goals in the current iteration of football. It just doesn't seem like it's as free flowing.
Southampton hit three against Norwich.
I feel like three is like the high water mark these days.
Norwich.
You said we told it before, and then we screwed it up on the last pod.
How do we Norwich?
Norwich like porridge.
Oh, Norwich. Okay.
Norwich like porridge.
We're trying.
Not trying hard enough.
Okay, your score for the game.
My score is 2-1.
2-1.
United. Who else?
You feeling very confident in that?
Very confident.
Sheffield United plus 480. I mean, I mean,
we should be able to win. We have to win. This is a must win because we must finish in the top four. I'm sorry. This squad is good enough for Ole to finish in the top four. And he almost has to, short of winning like FA Cup and Europa League.
I don't think he, like in my eyes, in my standards, he has to finish
in the top four.
I don't think he has to because we can finish fifth and get Champions League football because the ban is upheld and that will be sufficient. Again, I like what Ole's doing, but he's got to get the tactics right, he's got to get the lineup right, and he's got to get results. That's what a manager's judged on, and yep. I want him to get these results. So, look, I give him the pass here, but you're right. The Sheffield United, it's like the heat's kind of cranked up, in my opinion. And the players, they kind of put the pressure on themselves, and they got it. And when the pressure's there, they got to step up. And I think Paul Pogba's be integral in this performance. I could see Manchester United winning 3-0, clean sheet. Harry Maguire is back, baby.
I love it.
Optimistic. United in the news. Bringing you the latest news here on the American Devils podcast. Coming from the Times, League Cup could be played without Manchester United and Man City as EFL fight for its survival. Based on the fixture congestion next season, the EFL Cup might not include the top seven teams because they're going to be playing European competition and they literally can't fit the EFL games into the schedule.
Really? Interesting.
So, I mean, we need trophies, and EFL's right in our alley right now. We're like an EFL Europa League.
Dude, and we have plenty of...
Unfortunately, we've fallen... We used to be a Champions League final team. Now we're like an EFL Cup team. It's kind of what we're...
No, Champions League, FA Cup, Premier League.
No, we got Champions League final wages. We got Champions League final wages, and we're like Europa League like performing.
Yeah, we got we got treble debt.
yeah. Let's not get into the debt. But look, I thought that's interesting. I'm going to miss the EFL Cup. I like it. Any competition to win a trophy for Manchester United is great as a fan. Added to it, greatest of English football. We won it all. Next article, delayed summer transfer window is set to close on October 5th as UEFA call for autumn closer just before Champions League season starts. The summer window is yet to open because of coronavirus. It would already be open. Transfers would be being done somehow. Chelsea's doing Werner, and he's coming soon, but not yet. UEFA wants leagues across Europe to close their windows on the same date, so therefore we would be October 5th. We all shut down at the same time. We all know coronavirus valuations are impacted. What do you make of this extended window through October 5th? We're going to be playing while the transfer window is still open.
So is the window open officially, or is it getting pushed to the opening?
I don't know when the window actually opens, but they're going to close on October 5th because I heard Werner might join Chelsea in July. I think that's when Bundesliga is over. I have to think it's whenever your domestic league ends, that's when the window will open.
Yeah, but I would imagine he cannot play with them until the 1920s.
No, he's not playing in the Champions League for, was it... Who's he play for?
Leipzig.
Yeah, he's actually not playing the Champions League for Leipzig anymore because he's gonna go play with Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah, he like made a video on, and I mean, I don't want to talk about Chelsea signings, but either way, the whole transfer thing is getting jacked up. October 5th is good. Like we've talked about Manchester United's cash position. We're already hearing a lot of articles about like, oh, they're going to try to sign this guy. It's not that, not Jadon Sancho, like
maybe
the poor man's Jadon Sancho for 25 million.
Yeah, right.
Why are they saying that? Huh? It's like the American Red Devils podcast broke down the financials and said, oh shit, we're broke and we don't have enough money to sign Sancho for 100 million. Woodward said on the conference call. So let's get into that. Transfer news. Aston Villa put £80 million asking price on captain Jack Grealish, with Manchester United leading the race for a signature per the Daily Mail. Aston Villa want to keep Jack Grealish if they stay up, but they're fighting relegation. They're looking pretty poor. What do you make of Jack Grealish? What do you make of £80 million? Is he worth that ticket?
Not in this current environment. And, you know, that's probably part of the reason this October 8th deadline got pushed out, is because deals are going to take longer. People are going to have less cash. There's going to be more like player swaps involved. There's going to be more loan deals that turn into long-term deals. Grealish, $80 million, you know, Aston Villa is having a laugh. Like with coronavirus and what's happened with football and all the money, they're obviously not getting $80 million. He's a top player. I'm all about it. I would love to have Jack Grealish on this side. I think he's got the right mentality. A little bit of, you know, off-field antics. He's always known it. He's still having them. Right? Yeah, the bottles. Getting fucked up with the club, and now he's like breaking rules in COVID and like, I don't know, doing all kinds of stuff. But he's a good player. He's not going to go for $80 million. It all depends, obviously, if Aston Villa.
He has that X factor.
If Aston Villa stay up, that's a reasonable valuation. But it's like if they go down, he's $40 million sub.
Yeah, I would do Jack Grealish for 40. That's the price I'd pay for him. Look, transfer market has a valuation for £30 million, but we all know those valuations are heavily depressed. He's got 7 goals, 6 assists. He's a versatile 24. He can play cam. He can play right wing. He can play on the left. I mean, if you look at United right now, we kind of need that. You could put him out on the right wing. You know, he'd do a job. He likes to come centrally. He's all over the place. I think he has a great work rate on the pitch. But like you said, his antics off the pitch, even when he was coming up, I mean, he was just like pictures of him just passed down the street. He was so hammered. And then he got in the driving thing. Clearly, he's just like,
do we need that?
He's a loose can. He showed that.
I mean, he's a good player.
All we remember is that banger scored at Old Trafford.
Yeah, that was a banger. You know,
and like his hair, basically all the different hairstyles. I'm a fan. I'm a fan. I think he has an X factor. I think he's a big player. He's going to play for England. I think he's going to go on and do great things. I think he'd capture him up, but Fergie would do the deal cheap. He'd do it for like $40 million. If Aston Villa get relegated, we can do a deal, 45. He could be the signing. Honestly, that could be it, really, for Manchester United. Unfortunately, this one.
Pass on Sancho.
We don't have the money.
Yeah, we don't.
Short of raising more capital via debt, selling the stadium rights, or doing a heavily structured deal with Dortmund, they want upwards of $100 million for him. So I think Sancho wants to come, and I just think we need to look at where the Glazers can get that money, and there's not too many options there for them. Next article, talking about Sancho, Manchester United to chase £27 million winger, regarded as cheaper alternative to Jadon Sancho per the Daily Mail. Manchester United have reportedly joined Arsenal. That's the team you want to be competing with. In the race to sign Roma's winger, Cengiz Under. He is a young Turkish winger. He's 22 years old, 15 caps. He has 3 goals in Serie A, Serie A this season. Rumored transfer fee of $27 million versus Sancho's $100. So, look, we talked about the cash troubles. I have people tweeting me on Twitter 24/7. We're signing Sancho. And I'm like, hey, man, Manchester United is a public company. You can look at how much money they have. And unfortunately, we don't have a lot of money. And so Woodward on the investor call, which I've listened to and I've gone through the filings, he said we're not doing big money deals this summer. He's like, basically, like, the idea that we're going to do that is like false. So him saying we're not doing $100 million deals, Sancho costs $100 million. So we're going to get Cengiz Under. I watched the highlight reel. I literally,
how good is this guy?
To prepare for this video, I literally watched the highlight reel. Like, poor man's Dan James. Like literally, like, the guy has nothing. So, nothing. Like, absolutely, dude.
It was
like if I was watching some guy from, like, Perth Amboy, you know? Like, it's like, you know? It's just like no point.
Dude, it's good to have you back in the bunker. It's good to have you back.
Look, come on. Who, like, I cost $5 million, right? You know, football valuations are so high. It's like, who costs $27 million that's worth nothing? I mean, like, nobody. If you cost £27 million, who are you getting for $27 million?
These days, nobody.
These
good.
Days, nobody.
Nobody good, I mean, unfortunately, unless you find a deal.
It's a call option. $27 million.
But Grealish, if you can get Grealish for $45-50, he's worth it. He's Premier League proven.
What I'm
he's
saying.
Shown his capabilities. I'm not taking a punt on some player from Roma who.
Look, I'm thinking that we make Champions League, we'll have enough money. Where if Glazers kind of pull it right, we could get a 45 Jack Grealish, and that's kind of our expectation. You know, maybe
depending on the outs, right?
Maybe
can we raise some money?
You could get a bail in on wages, right? The bail, like, you can do a wage basically. You
so
don't
many
pay
injuries through. Though.
William,
so many injuries.
You could get William on a free. Like, these are the type of deals United are doing. I think they're going to be scrappy in the market. That's good. That's what you want out of the club. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's the richest club in the world, and they should be splashing the cash right now. If we had cash on the books, it'd be the best time to go out and buy.
Sorry. Dude, Warner 55.
I mean,
Warner 55.
I think he's a chump, honestly.
You think he's a chump?
If he's there for 55, you buy him because it's a good deal. But like at the end of the day, Haaland was our boy. Like Haaland was 100% our boy. We need goals. He's got goals in droves, and we miss that. Every time he scores, absolutely rips out my heart. Fan questions. Look, it's been a while, but we are back. Thank you for all the tweets on Twitter. Sir, I have not looked at these at all. We're just going to pull them off live. So if we don't get to you, we apologize, but we're going to try to hit as many points as possible. All right, jumping in here, going on a likes basis. At @Syracuse_MUFC, should Ole continue with a midfield of McTominay, Pogba, and Bruno? Also, should Greenwood play more on the right over Dan James? What do you make of that, Alex?
I think you don't play those three in that midfield. I think you want one of the two, ideally Pogba playing up in the front three, and then Bruno playing with two other midfielders. So I want to see McTominay and Matic. You know, I think McTominay had a great game. I think, but you need
you
a Matic short
up. You can't
not
play Bruno and Pogba, though. So
you play both.
McTominay's the perfect sub once you're up. You know, like when you're going in to win games like we need to do, you can't drop Pogba and Bruno.
And Greenwood was like turning, fellas, today. He was like, he was dropping his shoulder and just absolutely like rolling past Spurs players. So, yeah, at the moment, I'd probably put Greenwood up front because he came back a tank from training, you know, off the offseason. He looks ready to play and he looks very good.
Yeah, but I would have started Dan James today too. I mean, he did finish well, but now more that I think about it, it's like, I think Ole gets his starters and subs mixed up, right? Dan James is really a sub.
Yes.
You know, he's really a sub.
You bring him out the end exactly. When everyone's spent, and then he just like rips it because he's fast as shit.
And it's like, Fergie always got that right. And it's just like, Pogba's not a sub. He's a starter.
Yeah.
Fred's a sub. You know, and Matic is not McTominic. that's a mouthful. Matic is a starter.
Matic is
a starter. I'm not judging Ole now, but after you watch that game and then you know who should start, then I'm judging Ole. Next tweet, @UBolson on Twitter, quote, Paul smashed it. You love to see it. Tony, Rashi, James, and David De Gea were poor. Next game may be a 5-4-1. Give James, Shaw, and Tony a break. Overall conclusion, Happy Mo isn't our manager anymore. I do agree. I mean, if you look at both these sides, one is sort of like a Ferrari that's erratically driving and like someone can't handle the car, and the other one is just like beat up, son. It's like Tottenham.
It's like a caddy. Like a broke down caddy just sitting
nowhere.
There, but it's blocking the box and keeping
the
goals out.
We just don't know what we're doing. We're just like,
no, it's a jerky. It is like a jerky Ferrari, right? Yeah, like you don't know how to drive stick. And it feels like that a little bit, like the teenager that took his dad's Porsche out and is just like, gotta fuck it up.
Yeah, mess up the clutch, just absolutely destroying it.
But there's a lot of quality in the side, and it's Ole, you got to bring it all together, and we have faith that you will. But the Blades, man, that is a tough challenge. At home, no fans, it's a tough side.
All right, Dave Paws on Twitter, we'll take that after a diabolical first half performance. I hope Ole sees Pogba and Bruno must play together next season, and Mason is much better than James. Look at that. We got a theme already. Rashford, Martial, and Greenwood front three is a must. I do agree. I just don't know if that's going to solve all of our problems. I think Rashford and Martial kind of got to work out Rashford was kind of coming too centrally. He needs to stay out wide on the left. That's how he beat Spurs last time. Again, I think the tactics were just wrong. I don't think the players had the right instructions or understood where the threats could come from Tottenham. But again, look, Ole's probably just Ole Mr. Nice Guy in it there.
And I think there's a chance that I think our boy Agalu, he's got, or even Greenwood, one of them is going to play nine at some point because they got the trigger foot. Martial dude, he's a great player. Pulls stuff out of his locker all the time. But sometimes you just need someone that's just like a bang-on finisher in the box. And I think today we could have called out for a little bit of that.
A little controversial question here. At St. Louis Red Army, shout out. Another American-based Manchester United fan group. Absolutely love that. Quote, is Ole to blame for not starting Pogba and Greenwood? I got a quick response to you. At DB Maniac 31 says, not at all, period.
I think he chooses the starting 11, so he's a little bit to blame. I think it's not even the start, man.
It's Pogba. You blame him for Pogba, not for Greenwood.
I don't even blame him for not starting him. I blame him for not subbing him on at halftime when you're like, this is clearly not fucking working, and we're down a goal, and we're playing Mourinho, and we need to unlock the side. It was so obvious.
I blame him. I
blame him for that. Honestly, I blame him for that. Not the starting, but I blame him for
Pogba has 45, which it looked like he had 45. I mean, there's no, like, he came on, bossed the entire game, didn't look tired at all. He looked absolutely like 100. You saw it in his eyes.
He's going to play the 90 minutes.
He rolled his eyes when he was on the sideline. He wanted to come on the field.
They get water breaks.
Dude, it's a power play, bro. It's like him and Ole. Look, he disrespected Ole. Ole's protected. This is how it works. If I'm like going to put on my Sherlock Holmes hat here, Ole protects him in the press, says all the nice things, and Pogba like messes around behind the scenes. And at the end of the day, Ole puts him on the bench because he's got to respect the manager, and he's going with his boys who always came in and worked it week in, week out, which is Fred and McTominay. That's how it works. It's totally a flex, hopefully. And here's the thing. Ole has either been assured by the Glazers or he knows Pogba's not going anywhere, and that's why he can do that.
Yeah, and it's politics. We got a lot of games to go, so I think like... I think he realized his ways. Hopefully, he shows it by starting them right, starting 11. But you got to make that halftime.
You got to play
Pogba. It was so obvious that you bring him on halftime.
There's no way he doesn't make it in that starting 11. He's the best player on both teams by a mile.
And he's fit. Of course, he's fit. These games are not a real game either. They're freaking water breaks, and it's a slower tempo to begin with. So
look, he'll play him. He has to. I mean, like if you watch that game, he's got to play.
He's playing. He'll be playing against the Blades in the starting 11. I can guarantee that.
Yeah, he'll play and then go play basketball. Do whatever he wants. At Ty Kircher, you're that good. I mean, you're just a different class. At Ty Kircher, quote, in many ways, it's familiar. One bad mistake and one goal given.
Yep.
Struggling to break down defenses should be helped with time together, but please start Rashford, Pogba, Bruno, and Greenwood, and Martial. Lloris saves from Rashford and Martial were top notch and saves for his 2 points. That is a point that I don't think we've hit on a lot, is Lloris stepped up to the plate. And he has been looking pretty sharp. Usually he's good for letting in a few, but he actually stepped up.
He always has he often has decent games against lately, us, but he had a great game. I mean, he did. Like, even the first one, the Rashford chance, the foot save was very like De Gea-esque. And the one on Martial was good as well. But we had some fizzers that were close, right? Bruno went close. Greenwood went close. So this team created more chances. They were the better side. And now we got to just get it right. And we can, dude, their games are thick and fast. So we get to turn things around.
At @Jack_Reader on Twitter. Other than the scoreline, this match shows some real positive signs. The first minute or two when Pogba came on felt like we were playing U16s. Martial was quiet except for one chance that forced a brilliant save, but I'm happy to watch the Reds again. # glimmers of hope, looking at the glass half full. Thank you, Jack. That's what we need on this podcast. You know, it's like the armchair quarterback. You know, it's hard. It's Ole seeing the training. He knows a lot more. We're just coming in and watching the match and then slating him. So, you know, he saw something for that starting 11, politics or not. And yeah, I think Shaw looked great. I think other than defensive error, we bossed Spurs. Spurs are a good team. If you remember, like when Ole said, we played them last season and we were like, oh, Spurs. Now you look at them and you're like, who? Harry Kane was out there?
Yeah, I can tell.
I mean, honestly, they looked marginal. You have Mourinho there. You got a lot of youngsters. Who knows what's happening with that squad? It seems like they're on the decline. Erickson out, you know. But
they're not going to have a budget this year.
No, not at all. And for us, it's like, it's just like we said, that kind of Ferrari you don't know how to drive. We always got to figure it out. Is he the man to figure it out? I think he can. I think it's pretty obvious if you watch it. I think he can get it together. There's a lot of personalities in that locker room. That's like the X factor we don't know anything about. But I really hope that we can have a happy ending these last 8 games. Because, man, watching that plane crash last season, oh, my God, that was slow motion. That was so tough. It was so tough to watch us like melt down for the top 4 spot. And this club, if it's gonna be taken seriously, needs to get that in. For us to celebrate top 4, I'm almost ashamed. It kind of takes a piece of my heart where I'm like so excited to make top 4. It's like, what are we doing?
I don't think we need to celebrate. I think we just need to like get some swagger back. It was coming right before the break, right? Beating City at home the way we did. We did boss them all day. And we bossed Spurs today. We just need to like start bossing games and just realizing the players need to not drop their heads, not give up shit goals. and they need to just go there and create. And we need to play our best players together, and we got some really good players. It's just Ole needs to get that start 11 right, and I think he will, so let's give him a chance. He's being judged on this season. I think he's got all the tools to get in the top four and win silverware. And if he doesn't, it's going to be an indictment of Ole, because this is a very good squad. Very, very good squad. Top three in the league with everybody fit, without a doubt. So he's got to do it. And the boys look fit and firing. You just got to put the puzzle pieces together.
Do they do it?
Yeah, I think they do it. I'm bullish, baby. I love this club.
I'll tell you what.
This club never dies.
I'll tell you what. The Chelsea fan on the thread is very confident.
Forget it.
I'll tell you what. He's very confident. He says Chelsea will. This is what texted me after the game. Chelsea will absolutely finish above United this year and especially next season. That is the text I get.
Especially.
That's why I don't like Chelsea.
They're very confident. They're just all swag.
I mean, look.
The plastic club.
I'll be watching their games. I'm watching Sheffield United. Yeah. I'm watching Wolves. We got rival watching
all the games.
Watching all the games. Hey, it's been a real pod. It's awesome to be back in the bunker. It's been a long and wild ride. We do hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Little housekeeping again. This is for fans by fans. We're just trying to give you an authentic view of Manchester United and get your fan questions and get the fan perspective involved. That is the purpose of this, is to give the fans a voice, sir. We don't want to be filtered through Simon Stone. Because you know what? That question, what do you mean? You can support the pod. Check out our online store, americadevils.com. Write a review on iTunes. Helps us out. Alex, I think we got a new tradition where you announce the top cities last 7 days. Do you want to give us that list?
Yes, sir. I'd be happy to give you that list. And where else but Jersey's top of the list? Why not, sir? To start, number one, how you doing? Medford, New Jersey. Number two, Croydon, United Kingdom. Number three, San Francisco, California. Number four, South San Francisco, California. Number five, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Number six, Hardeslev, Denmark. Number seven, Davidson, North Carolina. Number eight, Dallas, Texas. Number nine, Baltimore, Maryland. Last but not least, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. How you doing? Appreciate all the fans listening in. We are truly back. There's going to be so much football. There's going to be so many pods. I can't wait. Dude. Future is bright. Future is bright.
One of those three. I wanted those 3 points.
You and me both.
I wanted the buzzing. I wanted to be buzzing. I'm not buzzing.
But we're undefeated. We're still undefeated. I know. We're still undefeated, though. I want to be buzzing,
still
too.
Still undefeated. How good does it feel?
Always at the wheel. Oh!